Tuesday, September 11th, 2013. It is now 6:35 p.m. Marie, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Present.
Director Blackburn?
Present.
And Director Angelo?
Here.
All right. Item number three, the flag salute, if you'll join me. And I think today, especially since it's 9/11, the anniversary.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Council, I'm sure Mr. Minera will serve the district well.
And we'll do even better with the microphone on. I wanted to call your attention to the South Slow Sand District. Since about November or December last year, the district's talked several times in open session about doing some sort of internal audit based on the change of management, restructuring, and to make sure that the costs and the processes are under control. And I've been a supporter of that and been watching it through the process, advocated for it on one occasion. Well, last month, the district held a closed session under the guise of employee discipline termination and without any further explanation on the agenda, which would not signal to me that that's about the audit. But, in fact, the council reported out that the board had decided not to continue any discussion of holding an audit of the agency under that closed session item, which, in my opinion, is a clear violation of the Brown Act of notice. Now, I know that legal counsel for the Sand District believes they can shove anything under performance review that that employee is in charge of. So, for instance, if you think you're suddenly spending too much on office supplies, you could hold a discussion about office supply costs as a performance review of Mr. Keefe. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I hope it doesn't make sense to you. President Guerrero, I don't know what happened because you're originally in support of doing some sort of audit of the agency, and I'm not sure why you've changed positions. I know that there's some feeling that what's in the past is in the past, but if the district is going to raise rates or ensure that it's operating in a good fashion, they need to come to the public and say, look, we've gone over some of this stuff and make sure our processes are in place. I'd really like this board to maybe consider whether South Sand should do an audit or not. And I'm going to tell you right now, President Guerrero, I'm not going to sue South Sand. I'm really unsure of my standing because I'm not a resident of the district, but I call the attention to the matter because I'm a real big advocate of the Brown Act, and I think they violated the act. I know your legal counsel disagrees, but I think I should have made it clear there, excuse me, that it's not right to just shove something under the guise of employee review. Come out in closed session and have another discussion of it. Reconsider whether or not it would be useful. Maybe not a forensic audit, but I think a look at the district finances would be a nice thing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Thank you for your comments. Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have copies of the response that Kevin is referring to from the South County Sanitation District to the Cure and Correct that he and I submitted last month and over these issues. And I continue to reflect on this body last fall when Mr. Wallace was up for a contract extension, and Mr. Guerrero, you kindly brought that item to your board and got consensus from your colleagues on how to proceed from there. You didn't do that with this, and you have been reporting that things are changing, things are getting better at the district, but you also, and I remember distinctly you saying that we would have a top-down and bottom-up review of the things that have gone on over at the Sanitation District. And in light of the fact that the Wallace Group, combined with Mr. Wallace, was at some times pulling down $80,000 a month It is the most prudent thing for that district to do is to go through the financials, see that the money went to all the right places, and that it's, we're not looking for criminal activity. We just want to know where all the money went, and I think that that board certainly could revisit it. Welcome, Jeff. I want to speak to your upcoming cash disbursements. The warrant for $7,717 for Hall, Hyatt, and Connolly is a staggering amount. Hall, Hyatt, and Connolly, Chase Martin, left this district mid-July, and yet the bills continue. What's also disturbing is that I have requested on multiple occasions a talk
about the fact that we, with the farmers market, are doing a fundraiser September 28th from 12 to 4 p.m. It's at the Rock and Roll Diner. We're offering barbecue food. The ticket prices are $15 if you buy it pre-sale and you get entered into a raffle drawing. I believe one director here might have tickets available if you'd like to buy from her. And we have some great raffle prizes, and another director here was kind enough to offer some stuff, which is wonderful. We've gotten more, so I just wanted to let everyone know. And if you guys could put this up in the OCSD window, we would really appreciate that.
If you could give that to Murray.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, thank you. We'll close public comment. Item number six, no special presentations. I think we should probably pull the special presentation item unless we actually have a special presentation from now on.
A novel concept.
Item number seven, this is the consent agenda. Jocelyn wanted to, actually we have amended warrants, and I think Jocelyn had approached me earlier in the day or let me know earlier in the day we were pulling the Hall, Hyatt, Connolly bill.
It's still on that.
It's still on this? Okay.
What did you add?
Clue us in.
It's a $300 check on the very last page.
I'm looking at the wrong warrant packet. There's an amended warrant packet. Yes.
Is there an
amended
packet?
Oh. Over there.
Mm-hmm. So you want us to toss this one and keep this one?
That's correct. And I also am going to recommend that we...
recycle bin down there.
I also want to recommend that the board holds the Hall, Hyatt, and Connolly invoice warrant until we look into that a little bit further.
That's fine. I had let you know some concerns I had about that. So.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Do you need a motion for that?
Well, it's the consent agenda, so we would be one change, and that is the to pull the Hall Hyatt bill, and then we could do it all at once, or we could do it A, B, and C.
Mr. President, you also need to add the additional check.
Yeah, well, we have the amended.
Okay.
We have the amended.
I got to follow you.
Register.
Mr. President, can I step back just a moment?
Sure.
Is that I'd like to make a motion that we pull the warrants from the consent agenda section, put that on separately, and then go back and vote on the consent agenda.
We can just do it A, B, and C.
However, but we shouldn't, if you're going to discuss an item, okay. We can't move it under consent.
Let's do item 7A, review and approval of minutes. That's fine. Review and approval of minutes for August 28th, 2013.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. 7A is confirmed. Item 7B, the previous discussion was to pull the Hall Hyatt disbursement. Is there any other, or is there a motion?
And include the $300 expenditure.
I'll second.
All right. As Jocelyn stated.
So Mary made the motion. Director Angelo seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Carries 5-0.
And we'll get an update on that, correct? Next meeting, we'll have an update on that, why we pulled that particular warrant.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Item number 7C, the utility will serve. Is there a motion to approve? This is an extension for the COVID.
I so move.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries 5-0. Move on to reports. 8A, Commander Jim Taylor. Good evening, sir. He's dressed awfully nice this evening. Must not be serving warrants.
Your tax dollars at work.
Did I buy that tie?
Yes, you did, sir. Thank you very much.
It's being spent in my area of town.
Yeah, well, you know, can't have our public officials looking shabby now, can we?
No.
For the period between August 11th and about noon today, we had handled 497 calls for service in the Oceano area. These calls for service included one reported vandalism, one burglary, three thefts, two batteries against persons, and 59 disturbing the peace calls, which range from loud music to family fights. Of note is that all of these numbers were lower than the previous month's call for services. I'm sure some of it is that summer's coming to a close, and so you're having a little less traffic than you would at the height of the summer. Among the calls that we did receive, on August 11th, we had a burglary that occurred at a residence in the 1400 block of Strand Way. It occurred between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. Unknown suspects entered an unoccupied residence through the unlocked front door and grabbed a backpack. It was lying on a table near the front door. The backpack contained been promoted, and he'll be coming down here on Monday to assume responsibility for the station. Jay's been with the sheriff's office for about 25 years, and he previously was assigned to the South Station as a field sergeant from 2006 until late 2008, so he is familiar with the area and the layout and some of the problems that we face, and then I'm briefing him and getting him up to speed on some of the other things that have gone on. So I will not be here for your next meeting, unfortunately.
Well, I'll dearly miss you.
Well, you know, when you fill out the employment application like I did in 1985 and you check the box, we'll work anywhere in the county, I didn't think they really meant that, but 27, almost 28 years later, they sure did. And I was hoping, you know, because I told somebody the other day, we qualify with our weapons three times a year, and I just qualified, and I told somebody I only have 8 range days left, and I was kind of hoping I could finish out down here, but apparently they've got other plans for me, so off to headquarters I go. I will miss everybody here, and I enjoyed working at this station, and I've always thought it was the best station, and I've always kind of enjoyed Oceano because it is a unique community. It's got a character all its own, and I think it is making progress, having started here in 86 and being here in 2013 and seeing what this community was like in 86 and where it is today, and in terms of the calls for service, the types of service that we're being asked to provide, it is moving in a positive direction, and it has been doing so, I think, every year. So you can all pat yourselves on the back that
your comments are well received.
You'll continue to move things in a positive direction.
We'll leave our guns at home.
Leave your guns at home.
we'll miss you, Commander Taylor. I didn't know you were going to say that. But could you let Commander Donovan know that the Sheriff's Department usually brings tacos or bagels?
I will tell him we have taco. Yeah, Wednesday is Taco
Donuts.
Day.
Taco Wednesday here
taco
at the OCSD.
Taco Wednesdays. That's a good one. Yeah, we'll do that. All
right. And we'll be disappointed should he show up empty-handed.
Empty-handed.
So thank you very much for your service, and you're welcome back. I'll call you in next time I see him and tell him you're welcome back anytime. So.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now we know why you wore the suit.
Yes.
And I think, Mr. Chairman, I think part of the credit for, or certainly, yes, part of the credit for the improvements in Oceano should go to the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, they've been a part of the team this whole time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your service and your work here. And all the deputies, they've had a really good rapport with the community, and they stop by and say hello quite often. So, and they don't arrest me when they do it, so I appreciate that. Item 8B, the fire chief's not here. We'll move on to item 8C, OCSD Operations, Interim General Manager Gary Keith. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening, Mr. President. Well, I, too, even though I've only been here a short time, I'm going to miss Commander Taylor. I've enjoyed my dealings with him. He's been very cooperative. We're still working on getting the APCD permit for your new sewer jetter, and I think we're pretty far along in that. We're recruiting for, pardon me?
Oh, my kids are leaving.
Oh, okay. We're recruiting for account clerk, utility operations supervisor, and for candidates for an eligibility list for the utility system operator vacancies. That's ongoing. The deadline is coming up soon. We've been talking about the need to probably extend the recruitment period for the field workers. We are going to try to get some flyers posted at a California Rural Water Association training program that I think is next week. If we have anybody going to the California Special Districts Association, I'd like them to carry some of those up and get them posted at that meeting, too, so we can broaden our scope.
Is that the one in Monterey?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take those.
Great, thank you. And, of course, we're working on the recruitment process for the general manager, that's going good. We still got a ways to go, but we're doing quite well with that. The district has acquired a vehicle that may very well work out to be a tow vehicle for our sewer jetter. It's a year 2000 Ford F-550 Super Duty V10 gasoline four-wheel drive dual rear-wheel truck. And the numbers, when you start running the numbers, they are so close I feel like we're probably going to be able to get there. One of your staff took the vehicle to Ford Garage and tried to get an indication from them what the real rating of this vehicle was as it sits, and they were not much help. So we're trying to make an appointment with CHP to get them to come in and rate the vehicle. But we are so close, I feel really good about being able to use this vehicle.
Fantastic.
It needs some work. But we're not doing any work on it until we're sure that it'll work out provide the type of service that we need. It's not the dump bed, flatbed that we were looking for.
Please, Director Angelo?
I didn't go to any committee meetings this last week since the meeting, so I have nothing to report.
Director Blackburn?
I didn't go to outside any committee meetings, but I did go to a tsunami scenario put on by the USGS in Santa Barbara last week. And that was really interesting. I'll have some more information next time, I think. I have a good booklet of information with that. So, yeah.
Why don't I go to Mary Lucy at this point?
Last meeting, a community member, Giselle, had mentioned making sure that we had brought back minutes from meetings that we attended and stuff, and I thought that was a really good point that she had brought up and one that we had done in the past, but I had fallen behind. So I brought my RAC pack, Water Resource Advisory Committee, because I did attend the RAC meeting this last week. 2 weeks before that, we had worked on creating an evaluation instrument for grants going out to different projects across the county. And so Oceano had representation on developing that evaluation instrument to use when people submit requests for funds for projects. We tried to get it fair and equitable and having a clear, concise flow of information between the parties. So it was much more in detail to that than that as well. But if you'd like a copy of the RAC, I call it the RAC pack, but you can easily get this at slowcountywater.org and download it, because it's actually pretty extensive each meeting. Next week I'll attend, since this is my second term, the first 4 years I spent really, you know, trying to absorb as much information as I possibly could, and when I decided to run for office again, I figured that this was the time that I really have to apply it. So I haven't attended any out-of-town I used to call them junkets, but anyway, any out-of-town seminars for 5 years. So I figured if Oceana's going to get the biggest bang for their buck, I thought I would attend the next training that is out-of-town, the CSDA statewide meeting, particularly for the water legislation that's coming down and storm runoff is concerned in a couple areas there, and who, you know, mainly I kind of want to shop it around is whose responsibility is it to monitor all the groundwater wells that are sucking off the Santa Maria groundwater basin? Whose responsibility truly is it to monitor those wells and how much is consumed from straw to straw? And so I thought that would be a really good kicking off area to get other directors and stuff's opinion on that on a statewide level, because I understand how people locally feel about it, but I'd like to know how others in the state feel about it. So I'll be attending that meeting, and I'm going to pass this report to you to keep on record in case anybody wants to just come in and review it or however. Thank you.
Director White?
Yeah, I attended, on the 3rd, I attended the Zone 3 Tech meeting. One of the things that I thought was kind of surprising is Lopez Dam is still over 64% filled, even with this drought year. That includes the extra state water that's going into it, right? Yeah. But it's still got 31,828 acre-feet as of the 3rd, which is really quite a bit of water for this drought year.
And rumor has it that there's, what, 45,000 acre-feet behind the wall that's Surser or something like that?
Behind what?
Behind the wall.
Oh, okay.
You know, the one we don't talk about.
Yeah. Anyway, they continue to work on the habitat study for the creek. They hired a company for a water availability study. It was completed unsatisfactorily. So they are now about to send out a request for proposal for a second company. But before they do that, they are lining up every study they can find since before Lopez was built, so that the company that comes in to do the water availability will have every resource that's available.
And why they're not getting the water?
Huh?
What's the reason that they're not getting any water?
Well, you know? They were dumping 5 million gallons a day down the creek, and it wasn't enough. They've upped it to 6 million gallons a day.
Really?
For agricultural needs.
Need to clean those?
Is that on top of the fish and wildlife release? Is this the scheduled release?
They only were reporting about what they're putting down the creek to keep a flow with agriculture. I don't know whether they're meeting the environmental needs at this time.
Because they do have a flow sheet of scheduled releases.
Yeah.
For the rainbow trout that we might have someday. Again.
Steelhead,
excuse me.
Yeah.
I get hungry.
Yeah, so do I. I was reared on that stuff. And I have a question for Ms. Blackburn.
Sure.
Did they really have a scenario of a 9.2 earthquake in Alaska?
Yes.
What?
Well, it was like a computer-generated scenario.
Oh.
Yeah. But so they were planning, they were going from start to finish to see what the process would be, what the timing of the waves would be, and the...
To get down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, because I was thinking, having lived through a six-pointer up there, that a 9.2 would wipe everything out so much that it really wouldn't matter if you had a scenario or a plan.
Not.
I wanted to go down there for that, but
yeah,
I didn't have a chance.
Yeah, no, it actually was surprising how little it did not. It hit the maximum line, the maximum tsunami line for the state in some places, but not a lot of places. Yeah, and not all of it. But yeah,
the Anchorage earthquake tore up Morro Bay, put water on our beaches. Killed people in Crescent City, yeah. And that was a 6.
Yeah.
And they're planning a 9, and they don't think it'll...
Well, in some places. And the Central Coast is what would we would have the highest waves. So
okay.
The highest tides.
Thank
but
you.
I'll bring more information next time.
Yeah, it just seemed like a very strange scenario, that high an earthquake.
I don't know. Kodiak, you know, the village of Kodiak, that tidal wave, it took the entire village out and six blocks in.
Yeah.
So, did they mention Beverly? Oh,
go ahead.
Finish your report.
I'm through. Thank you.
Did you report on that? Or are you going to?
Me? On what?
On the training you went to.
I haven't gone to a training yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to one.
I thought you went to it. And an earthquake preparedness thing.
Oh.
Yes, that's what she
I went to the tsunami thing.
The tsunami.
And so I was going to bring more information next. I haven't gotten to sit through it. I was gone all weekend. So.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
And I attended the South County Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday, September 4th. Of note in particular, I think that our board and the public is aware that we have new management. We have new engineer, and we have new plant, our chief plant operator at that all within the last year. The engineering and the reviews that were done by the Sweeneys, unfortunately, Shannon Sweeney is still out, as I reported last time.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Gehring is there. It's unknown when Ms. Sweeney will be able to return, which is very unfortunate. She's in a very tragic accident. However, there's been a total, I don't want to call it total, but there's been a huge reworking of the plant process. There's been a recirculating pump that's been put in. If you remember, the plant was designed to run at about 3.5 million gallons a mm-hmm. day. They were processing about 2 million, and this was the problem with the bugs, as they call it, in the
right.
fixed film reactors, and why items were getting processed, and the total suspended solids and the BODs were so high. So Paul Karp is there. The costs, I believe, are coming down. There's a balanced budget this year that was passed. We have a new chief plant operator. That's John Clemens. If you met him once, you'll immediately recognize him forever, because he's like NBA size.
Oh, really?
He's this huge man.
And he's the plant operator?
He's the new chief plant operator.
Okay.
Yeah, Bob Barlogio retired out of there earlier this year. And so I've had the opportunity to meet with almost all of the plant people, and so it's been going really well. Morale is up. There's been a huge healing process that's going on because the employees, when the issues from the spill were all going on, were really taking a lot of the brunt of it and really feeling more efficiently and with less chemical usage. So the cost will come down on that as well. The bad news is that the cogen, the electricity producing cogeneration system, is down. There is a lawsuit going against the manufacturer for multiple causes of action, including failure of implied warranty of habitability, and I think there's even some fraud allegations in there based upon not delivering what they've done.
Yeah.
So the problem there is that what do you do with all this methane gas? And so what I've been working on with the plant staff is getting the methane gas, a boiler system set up for the part of the process and the treatment.
Right.
Because right now the methane has just been getting flared.
Mm.
It's been getting flared off and not used. And so the bills of the gas bills have been incredibly high, and so we're trying to recapture that and reuse it. And it's just unfortunate. We're not the only ones that have had the problems with these cogen-type systems.
Right.
Most of the sewer treatment plants throughout the state that went with this particular company have experienced the same problems. And there's, for example, it started with a siloxane buildup in the system. What siloxane is, it's like a porcelain byproduct of using methane in these particular engines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a byproduct. Like you would get carbon deposits in your engine, these get siloxane, and so it's been a problem. And we'll probably not see I can't say for certain, but at this point, I don't anticipate seeing the cogen up and running and decreasing the energy costs of the district coming in the near future. At this point, so
it's an old plant.
It's an old plant, but the cogen system's not. The cogen system's only a few years old. So.
It just didn't work. So.
Well, is it the same kind of process that the landfill is using to recapture the methane gas that comes off of the...
Yeah, if you could use the mic there.
Is it kind of the same process that
the
landfill?
The landfill?
The landfill uses to recapture and send it across the way to the...
I'm not familiar with the landfills, so I don't know.
Okay.
I know that they've got something going on where they're recapturing it and making power,
yeah,
but I don't know exactly what it is or who they used or whether or not they're having problems, because for all I know, they may be having problems as well.
I just didn't know if the process was the same. It was a question of curiosity more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, the process is they recapture the methane gas and then they use it to run a piece of equipment that's got a generator on it, basically.
Okay.
So.
Maybe you can help me here. Man, how long have you been on that board?
About a year and a half, I think.
About 18 months, huh?
Yeah, that's correct.
And in the peak of organizationally, it coming unraveled, but still not being unraveled, but I should say it was being spent down rapidly, right?
Very rapidly.
I know that you were a voice at that table because I sat in the audience and I sat in the audience by myself. I didn't have other advocates coming forth to say, besides the surf riders,
yes,
who would show up once in a while, right? And so we would bounce things off, you know, and the administration of running that plant was, I mean, it was an all-on battle.
Chaos.
But what happened was is that it wasn't a battle from the public. Okay, so then Grover has an election and a new person is appointed and the power structure changes on the board. And I have to applaud Debbie Peterson because almost every single point on her spreadsheet were areas that you had been holding down, that you had been trying to minimize the damage, because the bottom line is Oceana was a lone voice on that board. Okay, so she comes in and puts it in an Excel spreadsheet, right? And I have pulled that sheet out, and every single place on that spreadsheet, I am satisfied with the response that has taken place. What I'm not satisfied with, right, is the Sand District has not addressed the fact that at that time, the administrator lied to your board and told you that you had insurance to cover damages. And there was no insurance. And so that hasn't been addressed. If you're going to go back after an old audit and, you know, do whatever you want to do to me, but I know the shredders were smoking because I sat in the audience for 2 years and watched them do this. Okay, so to go back and audit, you know, shredded paper is not going to help anybody. But the things that can be addressed is that board did not have insurance. Those board members...
A couple of comments. One, on the insurance, there was no insurance that was tendered, or the claim wasn't tendered to the insurance company until about a year ago. The insurance claim was finally tendered to the insurance company, SDRMA, who declined to cover it. Because of their declining to cover it, the sanitation district hired counsel to pursue that, and that claim is ongoing. It's been filed. We're actually, I don't know what the status is. I haven't had a status report on it in a while, but I think that it's going to go in our favor. That's my hope. And what they don't cover is they don't cover the fine payment, but they can cover the expenses in defending the sanitation district. And there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that were spent. And if you remember, I made the Wallace Group go back and back out of operations all of their billings that were for the spill and put them towards legal. They didn't like that. But I said, you know what, this is not telling the public what it actually cost for what you caused down there. And so, and I don't remember the, you know, there was newspaper articles on it, but was it $714,000 or something like that was spent, you know, gang gap to glee when it should have been tendered to the insurance company day one. I mean, after they made the calls to the regulators and the board members and everybody else, the next call that day should have been to the insurance company to say, Houston, we have a problem. It was not done until OCSD said, why haven't you tendered this claim?
Right.
And finally, then it got tendered. They denied it, and now there's a lawsuit going. And so it is my hope that we will get all or a portion of the defense cost brought, or, yeah, the defense cost for the ACL brought back to the sanitation district. That's ratepayer money, and the ratepayers were paying because the plant was insured. The issue there with the no insurance, I think, is the Wallace group and whether or not he would carry it in the administrator insurance. And so there, as far as the homeowners and the property owners whose property was damaged, there are current lawsuits going against the sanitation district, so I don't feel like I can say anything about that in open session. But there are current lawsuits going. Whether or not they were filed timely or have merit, you know, has to wait to be seen. But and as far as the thing about the forensic audit, not to get into all the reasons that were discussed because a lot of this was closed session, but a forensic audit looks for criminal wrongdoing. And that's the definition of forensic. And criminal wrongdoing is different than best management practices. And so my position is that the bringing in of a new administrator, bringing in a new chief plant operator, and bringing in new engineers, which are the three head positions. Mm-hmm. And the if you recall, I had Jocelyn coming to meetings because we did this pro forma, which was a review of the whole plant, and we brought it back. We've got a balanced budget from, and if you look at the audits, there have been two or three audits since the grand jury report. The audits note $700,000 to $800,000 a year in negative cash flow, and the revenues and the reserves being depleted by the sanitation district and the management. That was a huge management problem.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge management problem, and you know, I think that the changes that have been made are just phenomenal. And I even quote Ms. Tacker. She stood up a couple months ago and said, you guys should do a press release. This is amazing. And those aren't exact words, but it was something to that effect, that this is amazing, the turnaround that you guys have done. And she recommended we do a press release. Yeah.
No, it truly is amazing, you know, but it doesn't warrant, right. I think, a forensic audit. I think that your actions,
and
it's a little late for that.
I've asked multiple employees, and I've asked the people who have gone in and are reviewing the books, have you seen anything we need to look at? I mean, we're changing management practice, so we'll assume the best practices are being pursued at this time, and I think that the plant numbers are bearing that out. But have you seen anything that's criminal? Have you seen anything that's, and nobody has given me anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and having talked to a lot of the employees and everybody who's looked at the books, you know, I can't go, you know, without something to hang my hat on, I can't go forward. So
no.
Well, let's move on to item number 9, public comment.
Just picking up the tab. The cogeneration lemon, that piece of equipment was a lemon. And Wallace Group build and build and build the sanitation district to try to make it functional. They still got paid. So whether you win or lose that cogen lawsuit, Wallace Group gets paid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there has to be some more accountability. And all the good things that have gone on there are great, Matt, but you've got to get the financial house in order before you really know that you all did the right things. Usually at this part of the meeting, we have heard about committees, your own board committees, And you had a personnel committee meeting a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that didn't get reported on. So I'll look forward to follow.
Director's reports.
No, you generally do it here. So if you're going to change that practice, that's fine. I just didn't hear about it. As far as your items on the agenda, item 10A, the confidentiality agreement regarding the Santa Maria groundwater basin, my first thought when I saw that was, how in the heck did you get this far into this without that? And then I realized you had Molly Thurmond and Henry Weinstock working for you, and they should have got that done a long, long time ago. Then item 10B, it looks like you're hiring the Fugro consultants, which is fine, for the 2013 annual report for the NCMA. The 2012 monitoring report is on the streets. It has been on the website at Grover Beach for over a month, and I thought we would have seen it here and had your own presentation so that you board members could have come up to speed on it. So that's it for tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? I will just make one other comment. As far as the lawsuit with the homeowners near, Mr. Wallace's malpractice carriers, that's been tendered to them, not to the sanitation districts. That's my recollection. So, do you need a break, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. No, why don't we take a 5-minute break? It is a 7:25. We'll come back at 7:30. And all right, the Oceana Community Services District, we're back from break. It is 7:34 p.m. Moving on to item 10A, which is the confidentiality agreement, the Santa Barbara County Water Agency, with the recommendation the Board of Directors authorize the President of the Board to execute the confidentiality agreement to allow the Oceana Community Services District to fully participate and receive Santa Maria groundwater basin monitoring data. And there was a staff report. Is there anything to add on the staff report, Gary? He's shaking his head no. Is there any board discussion?
Nope.
It looked pretty rote to me, unless I missed something. And if I did, it's for lack of knowing, probably.
No, that's pro forma in Santa Barbara County. So
yeah.
It's on a regular basis.
All right. If there's no discussion, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we have our president, Matt Guerrero, to execute the confidentiality agreement with the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin monitoring data for water.
Is there a second?
So I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10B, the Fugro Consultants Incorporated contract for 2013 annual report for NCMA. I'll note this is a in place of WSC, who did it for a number of years.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they've been doing it, but I wanted to ask Mary if you know what the impetus was for a change in the...
It was mainly, you know, that they'd had the contract for... WSC had had the contract for a number of years. Fugro has been doing a lot of stuff with Public Works for years and years, and this report... you know, needs a little bit more technical assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the two companies that pretty much know what has to go into the report, out of the report, who to go to get the data and stuff like that. So they did do a competitive bidding process in a way.
That's great.
You know, so
it's good to change.
Lori and I were involved in the evaluation, looking over the instruments and things like that, but we read the proposals.
So it's your recommendation we go ahead and approve this?
Yeah, I think it's relatively...
Okay. You know, I'm trying to remember. Maybe Karen remembers. She's good at remembering this stuff.
They originally said you don't have to take on this payment, and they stated that in the meetings numerous times, that they had told Mr. Gieselin, look, we'll share this, but he was adamant about Oceano taking on 100% of the expenses, I think with an alternative something else in mind. And so when Lori and I brought it back to them to maybe we could balance it a little bit better, they didn't hesitate at all to work with us and make it fair, because they were very uncomfortable with it as well.
Well, I want to say thanks to the current staff for writing staff reports.
Thank you.
And I think Mary and Lori for taking this back and recovering the district monies. If you see the staff report, it looks like we're getting $25,556 back. So thank you, ladies, for taking care of that for us.
Sure. You know, we spend the district money like we spend our own personal money. We don't do it if we don't have to.
If I can fix a flat and not have to buy a tire, that's even better.
That's right.
That's right.
Fix flats fast.
That's right. Well, if there's no other discussion, is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, carries 5-0. I'll be in to sign this later. Moving on to item number 10C, resolution 2013-24, surplus/disposal of vehicle. I think this is a follow-up from a previous agenda where we'd already declared it surplus, so this is the formality of declaring this truck surplus. Probably should have been done about 18 years ago. But,
is that the truck? Is
really?
That the truck where the bed's falling off the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing different here is that your procedures call for competitive bid when we salvage vehicles like that. So what the difference here is we're proposing to sell this to the Air Pollution Control District buyback program, which will save you a lot of staff time and consequently money, and you may actually get more money for it than you would otherwise.
Great.
Sounds good to me.
Do you need a motion for that?
Yeah, we need a motion, and we'll have to...
It's included in the staff recommendation.
Yes.
I move that we accept staff recommendations on surplus. Staff recommendations on 2013-24 surplus disposal of vehicle.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Marie, if we can get a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. That resolution carries 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10D, the sewer lateral replacement. There was a very well-done staff report on this. Is there any additions to the staff report, Gary?
No, sir.
Any board discussion?
Thank you.
I think our board discussion needs to be in the future is deeding these back to the property owners.
Yes, sir.
We have, 1,700 hookups, I think?
Yes.
So if we end up spending $10,000 per hookup times 1,700 hookups,
wow,
we're bankrupt if this keeps going on. And so.
Yeah, it's very unusual for this situation to exist. Sewer laterals are not generally maintained by the provider.
So perhaps we, for a future agenda item, we'll ask Mr. Minery to research how to deed those back.
Is that because of policy?
That's because of a policy that was adopted by this board. It's your policy. You can change it.
Okay. Is it the same policy as that? When I was looking to buy a home here in Oceano, there were two areas where if something went bad with the pipes, that Oceano would cover it 36 inches off the property line or something to that effect. Is it that policy that we're talking about, or is it another policy?
No, I'm not. I don't know about the 36 inches, but your current policy says from the property line to the main.
Okay, then we're talking about the same one.
Right.
Okay, so that would be a resolution then.
Yeah, it'll ultimately need to be brought back for a resolution.
Yeah, we just got to go through and pick the right paperwork and amend it and repeal it.
Okay,
let's do that.
Right, yes. Give it back to the property owners.
Mm-hmm.
So is this from the property line to the main, or is this?
This is from the property line to the main. This, if I'm not mistaken, this is the one that keeps clogging up.
Yeah.
And backing up into the house, and we've been out there a number of times.
Yeah.
So. Oh, on this particular issue, yeah, this has been going on for years.
So, is it, if there's no more discussion, is there a motion?
$1,000 more. So they offered to provide us with a $1,500 camera that we don't need to make it balance out.
It's one we already have, isn't it?
Pardon me?
I believe we already have that camera.
Yes, we have. Yeah, we have. We don't need it. We have one.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they were throwing in a freebie.
Yeah. Yes.
The free camera. Entice.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Well, so it's all the same pieces, so we're comparing apples to apples here, so we can just go with the lowest price.
Yeah, it's the same equipment.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
That's the best we can get on it, is 12.5?
12.3.
Yeah. We went out to bid, and that's where it's actually a little less than 12.5. 12.3, I think.
Yeah.
If I can find it cheaper.
We do a lot of work.
I bet you Lori and I could actually find it cheaper. I'm sorry to say.
Well, as long as it works.
Hey, don't tease me.
You guys did a great job with the truck, so.
It's interesting the local provider is the less expensive. It appears that the local provider
yes.
is the less expensive than the...
Yes.
I appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do quite a bit of business, I think, with them
yeah.
here and there.
I appreciate that opportunity to deal locally, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I move that we accept staff recommendation to buy a camera not to be dropped in down any air vents.
And not to exceed $12,500?
Not to be put in any thousands.
I second,
all
I
right.
think.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 5-0.
Excuse me, President. I think you have to do a roll call vote because it's an item over $7,500.
Oh.
So, Mr. Minnery earning his keep tonight. Thank you very much. Marie will
legal
do a roll.
Legal counsel at his best.
Do a roll call vote, please.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes, item would carry 5-0. All right, we'll move on to item number 11, utility items, none. Why don't we do the closed session? Why don't we do our board member comments, receive written communications now, and then we'll go to closed session. Does that make sense?
Great.
Okay. Board member comments, why don't we start with Director Angelo? Any comments you want to add this
on
evening?
On what?
Anything. We're on item.
We're
to item number 13.
I'm looking at this going on. There's nothing to talk about there. No, but I am curious a little bit about the waters that Karen was talking about being let out, that there's not enough. And we have to go another portion of water coming down through Lopez. I don't understand that because where's it going?
To the farmers.
No, not before. If it was 5 million gallons and it wasn't enough for the farmers there, so they're letting out more. But where's that water going that would have been enough? Is it changed or is that normal?
No, they just needed more.
Oh, they needed
more. They needed more water.
Okay,
their need for more water. And actually, the flow... It's supposed to be at least to the Highway 1 Halcyon Road Bridge, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just that there's a tremendous amount of agricultural needs at this time of year.
Yeah, I noticed up there at Alpha Los Barrios, you can see it looks like they're growing berries in an area that normally had cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I spotted that today. I had to go to Santa Maria.
Yeah, well, it's not there so much as it is the upper from Lopez, Tally Farms, and all those... Huge. There's huge packing operations up there now. They've taken some of the stuff from Oceano. If you sit in one of the outside cafes in Arroyo Grande,
you see the trucks. Yeah.
You can just see the trucks going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they're all produce trucks. Yeah.
Okay. That was just kind of odd, I thought. But that's all.
Yeah.
Director White, do you have anything you want to board member comment this evening?
I don't believe so.
All right. Director Blackburn.
No, I don't have anything, but I am curious about the personnel committee meeting, if somebody doesn't mind. Yeah.
Do you want to do it? Do you want me to do it?
Do what?
Personnel committee.
Go ahead.
We had a personnel committee meeting. Of course, there was public comment at the personnel. Lori and I co-chair the personnel. We don't do the like chair and then alternate. We just do it together. So what we did is Gary had rewritten the job, all the job descriptions in the district to be more reflective of the scope of work, more reflective of what people do in their jobs from day to day. And also, too, is that the personnel committee is very, OCSD is not a union shop, and this person identified themselves as the union rep and asked that we table the policies and procedures discussion. But the committee really did need to continue on with their work. So I'm actually a little bit puzzled on that. I was quite sure that we were not union. So I don't know where that goes, but I thought it was pretty productive, and at the next meeting we'll keep going with the policies and procedures and make sure that the handbook is clear, concise, and up-to-date and as valuable as possible for the employees of the district.
Do you mind, just for my curiosity's sake, letting us know what changes might have been made?
Well, we didn't exercise any classifications, right? But we went from sexual orientation to domestic partners, and some people, do we have to go through certain qualifications? So making sure that we were compliant with the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act. And so it was more just updating the verbiage. We, the committee can exercise the right to change some policies and procedures, but the leadership now would not do that without taking it to the board. Yeah. We don't work very well in a vacuum, and I'm not good at keeping secrets. And, if we were to, some people, we're an at-will agency, so we were a little baffled that this person said that they were representing the district as a union, and as a board member, I know we're not union, and so we didn't discuss it, but we kind of looked at each other and but we're an at-will employee. But that doesn't mean that we at-will just fire people on a whim or whatever, right? No, there's a process. There's policies and procedures that go along with hiring and firing, we advertise when we have a job opening. So we went through some of the things, some of the steps that the staffs go through when they advertise and things like that, making sure that we got it out as broad as possible. We went over the job descriptions, things like that. We talked a little bit about, we spend a lot of money on trainings, and then people will leave the agency, 2 days after they got their certificate in the mail, at some point that's going to come before the board, because I'm going to be wanting to make a change there, but that's a policy, so we would bring it to the board.
Thank you.
Okay. Gary?
A little clarification from the staff perspective, if I may.
Sure.
The personnel committee is advisory to the board of directors. So we're going through this handbook and doing some editing or wordsmithing or whatever you want to call it. There'll be no changes made until it comes to the board as a formal document for you to modify it as you wish by resolution. And it's my opinion that the employees of this district are union members. They are represented. The union is attempting to meet and confer with this board. That has not yet been done.
But so that doesn't make it union.
So there's no, I think it does. So there's no contract or anything like that, but your employees are represented.
So when did all this take place?
When did
it took? Remember that very first letter that we got was notification that the union that union has been chosen by the employees.
So is that like a hostile takeover or something like that?
No, I think that's just the way that business is done.
Let me ask.
So were they full-time employees? Were they part-time employees? Were they temp employees? Who were these employees?
Well, I think that they were probably everybody, with the exception of the district accountant and the office manager and the interim general manager. I think they all voted. We really haven't defined that. We've had one meeting.
So are they going to come to the board at some point and say, yeah, you know what? We just voted the union into the district that the people elected you to oversee. That's a hostile takeover.
They actually did that in June when they provided the board with a letter notifying them that the election had occurred and that they were representing those folks, and they had a document from the Public Employees Relations Board that they presented showing that that was approved. So, you know, I never went to law school, but my opinion is that these folks are represented, and the union is of the opinion of the board, and that we were basically having a public discussion. So that's where it's at, in my mind, at this point. They also, as you may recall, expressed some concern over the fact that I had not gotten back in touch with them over the next meeting, and explained to him that... you know, we're going through transitions here. We got a new general manager coming up, and we got a lot of different things on the table, which, you know, appeared to me to satisfy him. But they're not going away.
Does the district have any response for that? I mean, it seems like it's being shoved down our throats, whether we want it or not. I mean, we really haven't had any discussion with any of us.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question. That's something we just got to work out.
My recommendation is going to be that regarding the union negotiations and discussions, that the personnel committee take over it with Mr. Minery. And we have legal counsel now, and then he can help guide the district through it. One of the things that we said to the union was, you know what? We're in flux. At that time, we didn't have. We were changing council. We were changing general managers. We don't even have the ground rules set up. Those need to be brought back, but to be approved by the board or not approved. And so, if you want to have any continuity and have any fruitful discussions, the players are all going to change in about 2 months.
Exactly.
And so, can you guys hold on? And seeing that I haven't been getting any emails from them saying, hey, when are we going to meet? I think that they recognized that.
I'm getting emails.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that it's you.
But the problem... Go ahead.
But I think that the personnel committee should handle this with district legal counsel. That's my...
Well, you know, as one of the chairs of the personnel committee, you know, first of all, I'd never seen that man before in my life. And I've been sitting in this chair for 5 years. I've never, ever seen that man. So I had no idea who he was. Secondly, my understanding is that when there's a takeover, when there's a shop that's being taken over, it's based on some level of abuse or misrepresentation or not representing the workers, right? But there's an official reason why. And I have yet to see, besides, you know, here I'm representing this staff person, you know. Who are you? Get out of my office, you know. I mean, that's kind of how I felt like. But I feel like I'm walking into it blindly. I've never seen that union come to the board and say, you know what, we'd like to set up a special presentation, talk about our union and what we can do for the workers. Because at this point, all as I see them doing is monetarily gaining from the few little workers that are here. You know.
Well, do we need to put it on for closed session? Maybe we should put this on for next meeting and put it on for closed session
at least talk about
pick the committee and approve ground rules. Is it closed session or open session, Jeff? Do you know?
I'd say go.
Why don't we just count? Why don't we just agendize it and we'll figure out later if it's closed or open? Because there's probably aspects of it that are each.
Yes.
And so we want to do it correctly.
I was going to say something.
And the union has not. When we had the initial, we had one initial meeting that wasn't that long. that I was there, Molly was there, and Gary was there for, and that's why I think that it's better if Personnel Committee and the new council and the new GM are the ones that are there, so there's some continuity. But there no demands were presented. He said, what do you guys want? They got no response. You know, there's nothing that's come back about what it is that they want and why they're unionizing. And so right, we're throwing darts at this point, guessing.
Well, the union rep said to me the other day that all the neighboring communities mm-hmm. are unionized, and this is apparently just an attempt to fill out all the, you know, public agencies around here. I mean, that was one of the things he said to me.
Well, let's see what they have to say.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's a takeover. I don't know whether I'd use that word.
It just seems odd that he wasn't in the
union. Now that's a takeover.
He wasn't
to the board for a vote.
Well, it's not our business.
The board doesn't get to vote.
We don't vote on it.
Yeah.
He was at an earlier meeting, along with a letter.
Oh, quite a few months ago.
Yeah, he was
sat in the back.
Yeah, he introduced himself.
He might have been on a motorcycle. I don't remember if you were here or not.
I only missed one meeting, and that was for the budget.
It was a few months back.
Yeah.
Well, it's just been quiet, and you know, nothing's been, we've not even been approached.
So let's bring this back on another calendar, so we can't go making any decisions right now. It's just board member comments. My other comments is I don't want to lose track of the $1,700 or $2,000 of ratepayer money that was spent behind.
I'm covered.
Mary's covered, so she doesn't have to come.
I was gone during, you know, for a while there, so I think I probably didn't get anything I needed to.
And then for some future agenda, for some future agenda item, I think we should talk about wheeling water or selling water temporary or whatever. Other agencies around us have asked me because, you know, they're getting thirsty. And I think Gary took a call earlier in the week about it. And so I think we should get some board consensus as to whether or not we want to try to move some water. We all know what the funding is, and we're getting an idea of what our infrastructure needs are, and so we got to figure out a way to raise money.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you know, someone mentioned at a meeting last month that there were something to the effect that she knew for a fact that there were two members or three members of this board that weren't up to date on their ethics training. That's not what our records show. I'm sure you're all aware that you can do your Brown Act ethics training, which is really the same program,
online.
Yeah.
You just got to commit 2 hours.
I did that. Yeah.
Okay.
I did that.
I emailed my certificate to Marie, so if anybody wants to see it.
And I did.
Well,
and she's a witness.
Right. And Lori, you did yours at that meeting in Southern California. Matt, you did yours online.
Well, let's just figure out what we need. And if we don't need the training, that's fine.
And Jennifer, you also
You need to repeat
yours,
it every 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're showing that you're all trained.
Right.
On that.
Well, last time we did a Brown Act training, though, was Chase about 2 years ago.
Yeah. They're separate. The Brown Act and the ethics, are they separate? They are separate trainings?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No, it's the same thing.
Well, there's a Brown Act ethic, but I don't remember. Well, yeah, and Lori and I went not too long. I think I lost that form. But
you went to, didn't you do it in Monterey last?
No, I did it. I think I did it in Templeton with Lori. We went up there. And then we did it 1 year. Chase came. The first time we met Chase, he came and did it that time. So
we're pretty trained. Some of us actually practice it.
and implied in that statement is some of us don't.
Some of us have had training in other positions.
Sure. Right. That's for sure.
Position counts.
Okay, any received written communications or late received communications to share, Gary?
I didn't have it.
All right. Future agenda items, I think we've covered that.
I am interested in seeing I don't know if this is available, but the NCMA report.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear
the
you.
The NCMA report, I am interested in. Did you send us an email, possibly, about it?
About what?
The NCMA report. I know it's online.
The what?
The NCMA.
I sent you so many things.
I know, I was looking, I didn't see it, but.
I can forward it, actually I still have it on my computer, but I can, you're attached to it.
No, oh, yeah.
I think you're on.
I don't know if anybody else is interested in having a presentation done. I guess that's what I'm wondering.
You mean the one that Ms. Thacker mentioned?
I know that they did one last year.
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay.
Or I would have sent it to you. If I, I don't remember seeing that.
Didn't they do one last year?
Northern Cities?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I thought they did. Because I think
when Daniel came in and presented for GEI, we talked about the transducers that the committee, the Northern Cities Management grew out of, the gentleman's agreement, started with the groundwater, lawsuit 22 years ago, you know.
Okay.
But I'll forward you over the reports, make sure that Jocelyn has it. And then how about if you attend the next meeting?
I would definitely be interested in doing that.
Good. Because I love playing musical chairs.
All right.
Anything else? Ms. Blackburn?
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
Okay. Anything else for future agenda items, Karen?
No, not for a while, but sometime in the future. I know disaster planning is a county responsibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And et cetera, et cetera. But I think the Oceano Community Services District should also have some kind of a disaster plan, because there's some critical infrastructure that belongs to us, like water hydrants and wells and pumping stations and stuff, that I think that this agency also needs some kind of a plan of what to do in, especially tidal waves or tsunamis, earthquakes.
I completely agree with you.
And also, I mean, I know the fire department has the major responsibility if we have some train that decides to bounce off the tracks here.
Mm-hmm.
But if they bounce off the tracks into the ice plant, refrigerator plant, we need some things. And even just like the fire they had at the beach, it was our crews that cranked those hydrants up and made sure there was plenty of water. So I think we have
time that it was. I think it started just before I went on the sanitation board, or right around there, because Tony Ferraro worked on it extensively and did a lot of work on it. And so by the time I saw it, it was, you know, 90% of the way to the barn. And so that's when I went and asked. And they told me our old general manager just didn't respond and didn't want to participate. And so that's why OCSD is not part of it.
Okay, yeah.
But those things are required to be renewed periodically. And we'll
get on board.
Yes.
Next time.
Yeah.
We'll get on board. And now we've got a great relationship with the Roy Grandy and Grover and with the sanitation plan. And so.
Yeah, well, and I'll keep.
Right. I think we need to do get that.
Yeah, if we're going to miss out on grants.
They're willing to let us look at what they've got, and then we can kind of.
It's kind of like how we couldn't refinance Lopez because we didn't have audits.
Right. Exactly.
So we're paying more money than everybody else because we didn't have audits. So.
Yeah. So that's something I think that's important.
Mr. Chairman, I had one other thing
please.
I slipped by. For board members, it's a closed tour of the Lopez water plant on September 26th. They can't let the general public in because of Homeland Security.
Okay.
No, I was shocked.
It sounds weird, but yeah, I get it.
Do we need, if we all want to go, do we need to post that as a special meeting, just in case more than two of us show up?
Don't worry.
That's on the 26th, you said?
The 26th is a Monday. I think that's
November.
It's at 3:30 in the afternoon.
September?
September 26th at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Thursday the 26th.
Tour of the plant. And you can phone Zone 3 Tech to find out.
I think that sounds really interesting.
Is this, would this be done as a board excursion?
Yeah.
Because it would be considered a meeting under the Brown Act, and so you'd have to do it in a manner that would allow the public to be there. You're going to do this as a board excursion.
Oh.
Well, the public can't be there.
Other agencies there as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's
Zone 3 is in charge of it. Zone 3 Tech.
Because it's for informational purposes, right?
Excuse me.
It'd be like going to a conference.
Okay. If that's the case, I thought it was just the board alone going to this.
No, it'd be for
four different cities.
All of the people in Zone 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't need to post it?
That's at 3 o'clock.
As long as it's not a meeting.
Okay. It's not a meeting.
And no, no district discussion.
Okay, good.
No.
Thanks for the clarification. All right. We'll take public comment at this time. Okay, no public comment. No public comment on board. Excuse me. Yes, on the closed session. Go ahead, Tressa.
I just wanted to ask, when Mary talked about this, going to that training in Monterey, the CSDA, is that something that you were going to sign up for, or do we need to?
It's already done.
Oh, I haven't received a bill yet. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't need to do something to get you there.
Not to worry. I'll whip out my Harley card.
Move on to item number 12. This is the closed session. There's been no public comment. Item 12A is public employee employment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment and appointment slash employment of a public employee, i.e. the general manager. Item number 12B, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. Paragraph 1 of subdivision D of Section 54956.9. The name of the case is Langstaff versus OCSD et al., United States District Court for the Central District of California, case number CV12-8541ABC, paren PLAX, and paren. It is 8:15 p.m., and we will adjourn into closed session at this time.